Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Multiple arrests were made on Wednesday night after a traffic stop escalated to weapons charges. WKHM's Luke Moorhead has the story.
One man and one teenage male were arrested on weapons charges and more by the Jackson Police Department after a traffic stop in which the passenger of the vehicle fled the scene. This past Wednesday evening, an officer with the JPD conducted a traffic stop near North Elm Avenue and Floral Avenue. During the stop, the JPD says the driver was ordered out of the vehicle and refused. As officers removed him from the vehicle, authorities say he began to resist and a loaded revolver was found in his pocket. During the incident, the passenger of the vehicle fled from the traffic stop and was located running into a residence. A search warrant was obtained for the residence and a second loaded pistol was subsequently located. Ultimately, a 22-year-old man was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon, resisting and obstructing, malicious destruction of police property, and multiple conditional bond violations. A 16-year-old male was lodged at the youth center for carrying a concealed weapon and resisting and obstructing. Charges will also be sought on a 43-year-old woman for aiding and abetting in relation to the incident. Reporting with WKHM, I'm Luke Moorhead.
A jury in Lenawee County is now deciding the fate of a Tipton farmer accused of killing his wife and hiding her body inside a fertilizer tank. 57-year-old Dale Warner is charged with open murder and tampering with evidence in the death of his wife, Dee Warner. She disappeared in April of 2021 and is presumed dead until her body was discovered in August of 2024. After weeks of jury selection and nearly 2 weeks of testimony, attorneys delivered closing arguments yesterday. Prosecutors told jurors the evidence shows Warner killed his wife at their home and later concealed her body in a sealed fertilizer tank on the couple's farm. The defense argued that state failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Warner committed the crime. The judge denied a defense request to allow the jury to consider involuntary manslaughter. Jurors will now decide the case. A man in Jackson County recently won $1 million playing the Michigan Lottery. 48-year-old who has chosen to remain anonymous won the Millionaire Maker game after purchasing the ticket at the Lakeside convenience store in Michigan Center. Man said that he has been playing the Millionaire Maker game one time per week since it came out and decided to take a one-time lump sum payment of $693,000 instead of receiving smaller annual payments that would have added up to the $1 million. He plans to use the winnings as savings for retirement. With temperatures rising, it's no longer safe to go out on the ice.
Clinton County sheriffs are investigating after a 74-year-old man fell through the ice on Lake Victoria, about 14 miles northeast of Lansing. He was ice fishing Thursday morning. They recovered his body, and rescue personnel immediately began life-saving efforts. The victim transported to the University of Michigan Sparrow Hospital, where he later passed away. It's a reminder that ice may appear solid, but can quickly become unsafe, and anyone planning to venture onto frozen lakes or ponds should use extreme caution. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
New lawsuit challenges President Trump's global tariffs. The 10% tariffs were imposed following a Supreme Court ruling that many of the president's previous tariffs were unlawful. Attorney General Dana Nessel is part of the coalition that filed the lawsuit yesterday. She says she joined for Michigan residents.
And we're confident it will be just as successful as the first one was. Michiganders are facing an affordability crisis, and we cannot afford any more tariffs. We're taking action to take the pressure off your back.
She adds that Congress has authority to impose tariffs, not the president. The United States has historically been viewed as a powerhouse in the global auto industry, but where do they stand with EVs? China is making a name for itself in the electric vehicle market. In 2024, BYD overtook Tesla as the leader in the EV market. Michigan State University professor Stephen Milnick says there are a couple conclusions he drew when looking at the two auto industries.
I don't have a lot of confidence that the American auto industry is going to be able to respond based on history. Number two, Number two, the Chinese are applying the lessons we taught them. The Chinese are doing to us what Henry Ford did to the auto industry in the early 1900s.
Says this was because of the amount of time it took domestic companies to roll out new models. It's something you still see today.
China is introducing new cars between 12 to 18 months. Mm. So in 12 to 18 months, you've got a new generation coming out. The United States is still 4 years.
He points out American history of American companies fail to move on new technologies like Kodak and the digital camera, Blockbuster, passing on Netflix. City of Jackson says they will resume phase two of the Martin Luther King Jr. Drive reconstruction project beginning March 9th, continuing planned infrastructure improvements between High Street and South Street. Phase one of the project from Rail Street to High Street was completed in November of 2025. Phase two is scheduled for completion in November of this year. Improvements include full street reconstruction, replacement of water and sewer utilities, new street lighting, updated traffic signals, and the addition of parking lanes on both sides of the street to increase convenient access to nearby businesses and properties. During the initial phase of construction, Martin Luther King Jr. Drive will be closed to southbound traffic while remaining open to northbound traffic to maintain residential and commercial driveway access within the work zone. Traffic patterns will be adjusted in later phases as work progresses and updated information will be shared in advance. Questions regarding construction may be directed to the city's engineering department, 517-788-4160-788-4160. More details available at WKHM.com. Soups on for Seniors Meals on Wheels fundraiser is happening on Tuesday at the American One Event Center, 5:30 to 7:30. Danielle Paquette and Diane Derby with Friends of Jackson's Seniors explained where the funds go and the event's background.
It is a fundraiser to raise money for the Meals on Wheels program for Jackson County. It's been a very successful event. We have grown it to proportions we never dreamed. We originally started at Ella Sharp Museum for our fundraiser with a small group all those years ago. Outgrew it pretty quickly, actually, and we've been in the American One Event Center since they opened. I think we were actually the second group that actually rented it out. Over the past 10 years, we've raised $236,000 specifically from that event.
Meals on Wheels services go beyond the already important job of giving nutrition to the elderly and caregivers.
Meals on Wheels helps support older adults and caregivers across Jackson County from border to border. We're able to deliver a nutritious meal to people that fit the eligibility for the program. It supports older adults and caregivers as they kind of try to age in place. And at different times, people might be recovering from a surgery or have other health conditions which limit them. And so having that nutrition brought to their home, you might think it's just a meal, but it's so much more. Beyond the nutrition, it's just kind of like that safety check to make sure that the person's up and okay for the day. We've had some great stories from people that have received the services and benefited from them, and I think we're just blessed by the Jackson community as well.
Tuesday evening's event will feature more than just good soup from local restaurants.
It really is just a chance for the community to get out and support a great service that benefits older adults in our community and just kind of show that support. It's kind of fun each year as we start to roll it out. You see a lot of the same people coming back from year to year. So it's definitely a fun time. Also, I think we're supported by the business community. We have a live auction. We have a silent auction. A lot of things are donated through that from the local businesses. We actually have nine restaurants coming, local restaurants. We really try to feature their product. So they're out there scooping up the soup for people to have when they're there. We have two local bakeries. So definitely you're getting a chance to check out some of the local businesses in our community.
Tickets are $30 a piece if bought before March 9th and can be obtained by calling 517-788-4364 or online at MealsOnWheels-JacksonMI.com. Consumers Energy Foundation is inviting small Michigan communities to apply for its annual Put Your Town on the Map pitch competition. The program will award a total of $50,000 in grants to help small towns strengthen local economies and support community projects. Communities with populations of 10,000 or fewer can submit proposals through March 20th. Projects in the past have included downtown revitalization, housing initiatives, education programs, and community gathering spaces that reflect local identity. In partnership with the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan, 10 finalists communities will be selected to present their ideas at the Small Town and Rural Development Conference June 1st through the 3rd at Crystal Mountain Resort. Top three projects will receive grants of $25,000, $15,000, and $10,000. Since the competition launched in 2019, the program has funded more than a dozen community-driven projects across Michigan. Thousands of doctors are demanding Lansing lawmakers renew Michigan's role in a 42-state agreement that improves healthcare access. The Interstate Medical Licensure Compact allows out-of-state doctors to expedite the process of getting licensed in Michigan from years to weeks. It's set to expire here at the end of the month. Dr. John Hoppenemi is with the Detroit Medical Center.
We have internists, radiologists, but specifically psychiatry is going to be significantly impacted here, and we're going to have critical loss of coverage in mental health here in the Detroit Medical Center.
The Michigan Osteopathic Association says dropping out of the compact would put the licenses of nearly one-third of the state's physicians in jeopardy and impact over 100,000 appointments per day. They add rural areas would be hardest hit. The Michigan House Oversight Committee has six recommendations to fix the SNAP program.
Some of those include requiring a photo ID and signature on all bridge cards, creating better oversight, and prohibiting out-of-state purchases. Committee Chair Jason Wolford of Howell says one thing that would cut down on the fraud is requiring the physical SNAP cards to be chip-enabled.
This will cut fraud up to 87% based on studies. So, you know, I applaud us getting this into the boilerplate and getting this across the line. So this will help with that error rate.
Last year, Michigan spent over $3 billion in food stamps, but the error rate is climbing. In 2024, the Michigan Office of the Inspector General prevented more than $300 million in fraud, and Wolford believes actual fraud is a lot more. And if they can't fix it, Michigan may be on the hook to pay the government back to make up for some of those federal dollars that went towards fraud, waste, and abuse in the state. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Whenever a new conflict breaks out, like the violence unfolding in Iran, the news and social media bombards us with frightening images from the front lines. However, AI-altered pictures can make these even worse by depicting events that are not happening. That may be even scarier than reality. Here's cybersecurity expert Mark Friday of RJ Networks in Southfield.
People have to have a almost defiant way about them and verifying where these things are coming from and understanding that AI-created images are now a part of our reality. 9 times out of 10, that thing you just scrolled past isn't true, and that's got to be our first thought when we're looking at these images.
Friday says it's important to take a breath, take a step back, and always verify if an image is real. He also urged all of us to only use trusted sources. One of Michigan's oldest amusement parks has been sold.
A staple during the summertime, Michigan's Adventure near Muskegon has been sold by Six Flags to EPR Properties in a $331 million deal that includes six other amusement parks nationwide. Michigan's Adventure first opened in 1956 and has seven roller coasters, a water park called Wild Water Adventure, and over 60 rides, slides, and other attractions. Any changes to the park or prices won't happen until 2027. Six Flags will continue to operate Michigan's Adventure for the 2026 summer season. Michigan's Adventure opens for the summer on May 22nd. Luke Sloan for the Michigan News Network.
They chirp, they eat worms, and they may help your brain. A recent study from the Journal of Neuroscience suggests bird watchers are giving their brains a workout when they are looking for different species. Michigan Audubon CEO Kathleen Minello says there is so much your brain is doing that you don't realize at the time.
You remember songs and calls. You track where birds are located in space, you know, that spatial recognition. And you compare species quickly. You'll start identifying, like, that's a robin. That's a chickadee. I heard this sound. This is what this means. And so, in other words, you're constantly using memory, focus, and pattern recognition.
She says the Bird City, Michigan initiative, which names communities dedicated to protecting birds, is a great way to travel and see all the birds an area has. You are going to lose an hour of sleep this weekend as it's daylight savings time weekend. Losing sleep can have an effect on your heart health, according to Corewell Health cardiologist Dr. Akhil Gulati, who says they sometimes see heart attacks the day after the time change.
I think it speaks to a wider issue and how sleep and circadian rhythms are interact with the heart system itself. You know, we need a lot of sleep. You know, it's with the American Heart Association will tell us that for adults, we recommend at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep.
Gulati says there was a study that showed increases in heart attacks the Monday after daylight savings time, but other studies show it's not that big of a deal. He says you should try to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. It's Friday, and it's the sixth day of March. And today, we celebrate Dentist's Day. It's also National Frozen Food Day, National Oreo Cookie Day. Boy, those dentists. Was 4 out of 5 dentists love Oreo Cookie Day. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. It's also National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day. I mean, is it wrong if you eat 3 Oreo cookies before you walk into the dentist's door? I'm asking for a friend. On this date, in 1834, the city of York in Upper Canada was incorporated as Toronto. It was on this date in 1857, the infamous Dred Scott Supreme Court decision was upheld. It was on this date in 1930, the first frozen food was sold. It was on this date in 1981, Walter Cronkite anchored his last CBS evening news program. On this date in 1997, Queen Elizabeth II launched the first official royal website. It's on this date in 2000, Eric Clapton was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the third time. It was on this date in 2014, English actress Sheila McRae died at the age of 92. On this date in 2015, the NASA exploratory spacecraft Dawn entered orbit around the dwarf planet Ceres. It was on this date in 2016, the 7th Democratic presidential debate was held in Flint, Michigan. It's on this date in 2016, former First Lady Nancy Reagan passed away at the age of 92. And it was on this date in 2017, beloved film historian Robert Osborne, he passed away at the age of 84. Birthdays today include Jacob Bertrand from Cobra Kai. He is 26 today. Dylan Schmidt from Once Upon a Time. He's 27 today. Alicia Beau, 29, actress, 13 Reasons Why. Also, the Buccaneers. You've got Eli Marienthal is 40, actor from American Pie. Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq. Okay, this one surprised me a little bit because they have Shaq here as 54. I thought Shaq was a bit older than that. Just saying. Yeah, Shaq, NBA star, and pretty much if there's a commercial, his name's going to be attached to it. You also have Connie Britton, who's 59, actress, 24, Friday Night Lights, White Lotus. D.L. Hughley is 63 today, actor, comedian from the Hughleys. Tom Arnold, 67, actor from True Lies. You know, he also had a special guest spot in Trailer Park Boys. Freaking hilarious. Martin Cove, 79, actor from The Karate Kid, also from Cobra Kai. You know, both those guys from the Cobra Kai. Did you notice that life got better for them ever since the Sai Kai Tai Kai? Ben Murphy is 84, actor from Alias, Smith and Jones. What else we have here? Michelangelo. No, I'm talking about the artist not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, Michelangelo, artist. He would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 1564, so just a little while ago. Lou Costello, the second half of Abbott and Costello, would have had a birthday today. Passed away in 1959. Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show. He was, he would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2009. And Rob Reiner would have had a birthday today. Rob Reiner lost his life. He would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2025. Other birthdays today include Tyler, the Creator. He is 35 today. Bubba Sparks, 49 today. You've got Jarrett Reddick, singer and guitarist from Bowling for Soup. He's 54 today. Madonna Wayne Gacy, 62, keyboardist formerly of Marilyn Manson. Skip Ewing has a birthday today. The country singer is 62.
In the middle of my day, if something takes my thoughts away, it's almost always safe to say that it's you again.
You know, Kiki D has a birthday today. Not would have. She has a birthday today. She's 79. She did Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Elton John. David Gilmour, 80, guitarist, vocalist from Pink Floyd. Hugh Grundy from The Zombies. He did the drums. He's 81 today. And that's a look at your birthdays. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
And everything I do, when love comes shining through, oh, I know it's you again.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
We've got U of M, we've got MSU, we've got Pistons, basketball, all that to get to. We've got Wings to get to. We've got all of that we're going to get to, but we're going to start with regional competition, regional championships from last night in high school boys basketball, where last night Springport fell to Flint Elite 61-53 for that final last night. And you know what? We've got highlights for you. Springport gave us a fight last night. Let's start off here in the first. Springport off to a pretty hot start, especially from Brody Baum.
Kriegel trying to get his second three. That's off. Ball is his own rebound through the lane. Down low for Baum. And he scores around the defender who got in the air on the pump fake. And Flint Elite needs to call time as this loud Springport crowd making a lot of noise.
Let's go to the second quarter where Flint Elite's A.J. Smith gets a bucket. And Spartans are still on top, 16-12.
Going the other way, A.J. Smith. Top of the key for McDaniel. Guarded by Kriegel. Back on the far side for Smith. Gets the screen. Now through the lane. Layup up and in. He's a bucket, ladies and gentlemen. And he has back-to-back scores.
Powered by the crazy cowboy, Tucker Wigginton gets the three. Puts the Spartans up two. This is early in the fourth.
Holds onto it for a moment. Screen coming from both sides. He's trapped now down low for Overleg. Back to the near side corner. Three ball, Wigginton. Yes! That's the shot that Springport has desperately needed. They went cold in the second and third quarters from three after being red hot in the first. Springport back in front by two. 1 minute into the fourth.
Late in the fourth, Elite's Deion Wright puts up a three. That puts the Elite up four.
Flint Elite ball, 2:15 left. 50-49 from New Lothrop. A.J. Smith across the timeline. He's met by Overweg. Steps in. Now pulls it back to the corner. Wright fires the three. Makes the three. That's a big one. Another four-point lead.
So they get a district championship. They get the conference championship. And they made it to the regional final. And last night, Springport season came to an end. Here's the final call as Flint Elite wins it 61-53.
And we're going to get a whistle here by the official. They're just going to end it. 61-53 is the final score. Springport's season comes to an end at the hands of the Flint Elite Warriors.
So that happened last night. You had the call from Connor Dockery down the hall to the left on 95.9 The Power Cow, where this week it's been more hoops, less bull. So Flint Elite will face Onsted. Onsted took care of E-Course last night, 42-40 for that final. So that Division 3 quarterfinal is set for the 10th at 7 o'clock at Lincoln Art and Recreation in Ypsilanti. The other regional final that we were following for you last night saw Division 4 Concord. Concord getting the win. Your divisional champions, now your regional, your district champions, now your regional champions for Division 4 Concord. 55-39 win over Petersburg Summerfield, and probably the best highlight from high school basketball all season long.
Now goes right side for Gene Jr. They're working against the zone.
1-3-1.
And there's a back cut and an alley-oop jump! Oh my God, does the highlights get better than that anywhere in this game, Brian? Back cut by Gene Jr. and a perfect alley-oop stuff. 3-1. Might as well be a 12-1. I'm giving him 11 points for that make. Wow.
Probably our best in-game dunk we've seen this year.
You know, you do that 1-3-1 at the high school level, you're leaving that baseline wide open. Oh, man. Concord with a powerful highlight yesterday. 55-39. They get the win over Petersburg Summerfield. So Concord, on their home court, they advance, and they're going to be taking on Colon after Colon defeated Battle Creek St. Philip last night at Marcellus High School Gymnasium, 49-40. So Portage Northern High School, 7 o'clock tip time on the 10th for Colon and Concord. Yeah, just for giggles, let's look at the tape here. Colon 22-4. Concord 22-4. There it is. That's as even as it gets on high school basketball. So Concord, as far as the guys go, that is the lone local team left standing. Somewhere Concord Chris is doing cartwheels. On to girls basketball. District championships happening tonight. And tonight, you have Western and Michigan Center. This is in Division II, District 51 at Harper Creek tonight. So Western Michigan Center having to travel to Harper Creek tonight for that district championship game. These two teams had phenomenal seasons. Western 16-7 on the season. Center 20-3 on the season. So that's going to be here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, 6:45 for the broadcast time, 7 o'clock for the tip time. Again, more hoops, less bull on 95.9 The Power Cow. The Lumen Christi Basketball Titans will take on the Grass Lake Basketball Warriors at Napoleon High School. Lumen Christi 19-3 on the season. Grass Lake 21-2 on the season. 6:45 for the broadcast, 7 o'clock tip time. Girls high school basketball tonight. Division 3, District 83 last night saw Columbia. I'm sorry, on Wednesday, saw Columbia getting the 56-16 win over Onsted. So the Golden Eagles advanced, and they will face the Blissfield Royals tonight. That is a 7 o'clock tip time live from Onsted High School. So the Royals are 19-3, Columbia 19-4 on the season. That should be a great matchup also. Let's stick with district finals. girls basketball as we head to Division Four. This is District 119 at Athens, where Concord will face the host team Athens tonight. Concord 21-2. Athens making the final with a 10-12 record. Did these two teams play each other this season? Bear with me. Give me just a second, and let me just do a little scrolling. They did. Last time these two teams met, Athens got the 49-25 Concord got the 49-25 win over Athens. That was back on January 12th. So this will be the second time these two teams face each other this year. I would say a pretty dominating showing for the Yellow Jackets over Athens last time these two teams met. So 7 o'clock tip time tonight, Division 4, District 119. Also in action today, Jackson College, the ladies in the Great Lakes District A semifinal, as they'll take on Cuyahoga Community College. I feel like I'm slaughtering that. 3:30 for the tip time there, as the Lady Jets try to advance in postseason play. Hey, last night it was the third-ranked Michigan basketball Wolverines. They stayed perfect on the road with a 71-68 win over the Iowa Hawkeyes at Carver Hawkeye Arena. The game featured 14 lead changes, 8 ties before Michigan pulled away in the final seconds. Yexel Lendenborg and Maurice Johnson Jr. led the Wolverines with 16 points apiece. Ade Mura had 14 points, 8 boards. Elliot Cadeau chipped in 11 points, 9 assists. With Michigan holding a 2-point lead late, Roddy Gale Jr. delivered a key block and later a steal, setting up 2 clutch free throws from Lendenborg to seal the victory. The win gives Michigan a perfect record in true road games this season, the first time that's happened in program history. It was not a true road game when they lost to Duke. Wolverines close the regular season Sunday against rival Michigan State Spartans. That's going to be at Chrysler Center, tip-off at 4:30. Speaking of MSU, the number 8th-ranked Spartans built a big second-half lead and held on to beat Rutgers 91-87 on Senior Day at the Brez. Redshirt sophomore guard Jeremy Fears Jr. scored 21 points, including 15 after halftime, and dished out 8 assists to lead the Spartans. Cohen Carr added 21 points and 6 rebounds, while seniors Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper chipped in 15 and 14 points. Michigan State trailed for much of the first half, but took a 31-30 lead into the break. Spartans then opened the second half on a 7-0 run, eventually stretched the lead to 19 points. Rutgers rallied, knocking down 3 straight threes to pull within 2 in the final seconds. Fears sealed it at the line with 2 free throws. With 2 seconds left, Spartans shot nearly 59% from the floor, dominated the boards 38-21, improved to 25-5 overall, 15-4 in the Big Ten. That's their 5th straight win. Again, Spartans, Wolverines, 4:30 on Sunday. And we'll have both of those broadcasts for you on Sunday. The U of M MSU broadcast, the U of M version of that broadcast, that's going to be a 4 o'clocker here on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. We'll get to MSU broadcast immediately after our Detroit Tigers broadcast on Sunday. Detroit basketball Pistons. It was an unfortunate 121-106 loss to the Spurs. Ashur Thompson, he left the game early with a sprained ankle. Ron Holland also left with an eye injury. So Pistons. They laid an egg last night. Not great basketball for the Detroit basketball Pistons. Elsewhere from the NBA last night, you had the Jazz on top of the Wizards, 122-112. Magic over the Mavs, 115-114. Heat beat the Nets, 126-110. Warriors over the Rockets, 115-113 in overtime. Timberwolves getting a win over the Raptors, 115-107. The Bulls beat the Spurs, or the Suns rather, 105-103. Pelicans on top of the Kings, 133-123. Connor Dockery's Denver Basketball Nuggets getting a 120-113 win over the Lakers. Way to go, Nuggets. Way to go. On to the ice of the National Hockey League. Kings beat the Islanders 5-3. Senators on top of the Flames 4-1. It was the Predators beating the Bruins 6-3. Jets beating the Lightning 4-1. Blue Jackets over the Panthers 4-2. Sabres beating the Penguins 5-1. Rangers on top of the Leafs of the Maple Variety 6-2. And the Mammoth shutting out the Flyers 3-0. In action tonight, Florida Panthers, who are 14-15-0 on the road, will be at Little Caesars Arena to take on the Wings, who are 18-10-3. Detroit at minus 155, according to the experts who put together the sports books. Other great Wings news. The Red Wings made a trade to reacquire David Perron from the Senators last night. Detroit gave up a conditional fourth-round pick, the conditions of which are if Perron plays in a game for Detroit, Ottawa gets the Wings' fourth-round pick in this year's draft. If Detroit goes to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs and Perron plays in half of the games in the first round, Ottawa gets Detroit's third-round pick. Perron has been out with a hernia since January 20th, so he's missed 11 games on the season. That's your sports on AM Jackson, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Right now, let's head to our newsmaker line, and we welcome back to the program State Representative Kathy Schmaltz. Representative, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
So far, so good. I'm three cups in to my, was probably going to be a six-cup day today, so I'm halfway there.
Well, good,
yeah.
Good.
All the caffeine, yeah. So it'll be one of those days. So
but I can't believe it's only three cups.
It's only three. I'm pacing myself, Kathy. We got to spread it out. You can't just, or else I would ask you a question, let you go on a long response while I head down the hallway to the right. All right. So Kathy, let's start off today with because we had full session over the week, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start off. We had the story earlier in the week with comments from Matt Hall about getting some funds for Selfridge Air Base. Now, tell us about this.
Yeah, this is real exciting. A new fighter jet mission has been assigned to Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Michigan. You've probably heard that. President Trump and Governor Whitmer did announce that last year. And Selfridge is, by the way, located in Harrison Township. That's about 20 miles north of Detroit, near Mount Clemens. It's in Macomb County. The base is set to receive 21 new Boeing F-15EX Eagle II fighter jets starting in 2028. And that will replace its aging A-10 Thunderbolt II aircraft. But the new jets are much bigger, and so we have to build new runways, hangars, and other major facilities to support them and the mission transition. The existing infrastructure is just not, there to do it. So to help pay for the new runways and improvements, we approved a $152 million supplemental state funding bill this week. We just wanted to make sure that funding was available to make, we want the project to go through. Okay. And we didn't want to wait for the federal government or Congress to have to get this done. It's all a big win for Michigan. The investment protects thousands of military and civilian jobs and will sustain, millions of dollars in economic impact. We just wanted to make sure we had the money there so we could get this done.
Well, is this a scenario where the federal government's supposed to pay for it? But since the federal government does what the federal government does and takes their time sometimes, the state jumped in and decided to do it? Is that the reason for the 152?
Exactly, okay. Because it takes so long to get things done, in Washington. We wanted to make sure the money was there and the infrastructure was in place because it's such an important mission and development for Selfridge that we want to make sure that it goes through.
So since it is the federal government's responsibility, are they going to reimburse the state, or is it just the state saying, hey, we're going to do it. This is on us. We'll take care of it.
And we're going to do it. We're going to take care of it. We'll see what happens after that.
Okay, there it is. House passed a bipartisan plan to ensure police officers and firefighters who serve in the National Guard or Reserves get all their time appropriately. What does this mean? Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is a really good bill. It's all about supporting employees on military leave, specifically first responders. Firefighters and police officers who serve in the National Guard or Reserves would receive up to 26 days of paid military leave each year before being required to use personal leave time. Right now, once personal leave is depleted, the first responders must take unpaid time off to meet their military commitments. This is really about fairness and recognizing the service of the men and women who also, you know, our first responders, but defend our nation, too. They shouldn't be penalized at work for their military obligation. So the bill requires police and fire departments to provide paid military leave to eligible employees, preventing them from having to use vacation time or personal days to fulfill the required drills. So that's a really good package. It was bipartisan, and it goes to the Senate.
Okay. With it being bipartisan, and I know things have been, you know, kind of weird between the House and the Senate, kind of anticipating this one not getting much pushback from the Senate, right?
No. But then there's a lot of things that shouldn't get pushed back from either House for some reason.
But they do.
For some reason, we find ourselves in that position. But this is a good bill. We hope that they pass it quickly because, as we said, our police and firefighters shouldn't worry about losing pay or their earned time off because of military service.
Right. And you know, it's a unique situation because they kind of do double dip into this pool a little bit because they get pulled away for National Guard and Reserve stuff, and then they get pulled away for the local emergencies and for the duties they have with emergency responders. So it's definitely a unique situation. Not a whole lot of people are in, but definitely a unique situation where they are facing, you know, that kind of time off issue.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be penalized for that. I mean, they're protecting us here, and then they're going to protect the nation or protect the state. We just shouldn't we shouldn't be penalizing them for that. So it's a very good bill.
All right. Let's talk about patients being able to have access to treatments without unnecessary delays. Tell us about this.
This bill moves up the timeline for new drugs to be approved for use by patients. It will ensure patients can receive needed treatments that they might need without the necessary delays, like you said. Mm-hmm. Right now, updates to the state controlled substances schedules can be delayed for like up to 3 months after federal changes. That slows access to new medications that people can use. So the bill fixes it by requiring the Michigan Board of Pharmacy to review and publish scheduling decisions within 30 days. Right now, it's 91 days. We want state schedules to align faster with federal updates. This is to make sure, again, we get much-needed drugs quicker to patients who need them for treatment.
Okay.
So it just moves up the timeline a little bit.
Okay, so moves it up the timeline, so things getting moving a little bit faster for those who need a little. Okay, all right. Hey, last time we spoke, you were talking about testimony. It sounds like it was a pretty busy testimony week for you in Lansing.
Yes, it was. Of course, we have the new process of transparency where we put everything online and we have to testify on budget requests that we would like to see back in our districts.
Mm-hmm.
So we had quite a few testimonies this week. I can go through them if you'd like.
Well, yeah. Yes, please.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So Jackson Parks Director Kyle Lewis joined me to talk about infrastructure improvements at the Jackson County Fairgrounds. That's a $1.3 million request for a new open-air covered arena to replace the aging facilities. If you've been there, which I know you have, you know that it's kind of aging back there in the fairgrounds. So it's a multi-use space that would support year-round agriculture education, 4-H, Future Farmers of America programs, livestock exhibitions, and community events. So that's very much needed there.
Yeah.
And I know Rep. Leitner's on the fair board, so she would love to see this one go through.
Well, yeah.
Too.
I mean, Keeley Park had so many updates and improvements to a lot of the other areas that the fair utilizes, but the 4-H kids, I mean, that's for me, that's among the most important parts of the fair. And if we can make that part better for the 4-H kids, let's do it.
Yes. No, I agree with you. That's real important. So we made sure. And Kyle does a great job. Of course, he came up with me last year for Cascades, and he's getting to to know how to do this very well, let me tell you.
Okay,
okay, the second one, Lee Rocket Lab, hoping to get $150,000 for expansion of the programs. It continues to work, you know, reaching out to regional manufacturers, helps connect businesses to resources, helps them, those who want to start businesses. Hmm. Money would help small and mid-sized manufacturers adopt new technologies, you know, like AI and all those different new technologies coming up, automation, robotics.
Right.
Lean Rocket Lab CEO Brandon Market gave great testimony and presentation. So that one was also talked about. Let's see, what was that one? $450,000, yeah.
Okay.
Altering Outcomes, another budget request. It's all about eliminating barriers to unemployment, Thrive Staffing Solutions partners with Altering Outcomes to help connect underserved and vulnerable residents by helping them get to their jobs, driving them, and also giving them job training.
Yeah.
So Eric Rice, he's president of Drive Staffing Solutions. He talked about how they work with the Jackson Interfaith Shelter and Gems of Jackson, the 24-hour child care center. They would like $500,000. They want to turn the vacant building they have into a 16-room boarding house with an employment center and transportation hub.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Now, where is this? No, where is this at? Is this in Jackson?
Yes.
Okay. It does. This has to be the first time I'm hearing because it doesn't sound familiar to me.
I know. I know. Well, I've been talking to Steve Caswell about this for a while.
Wow.
But yeah, Altering Outcomes just works a lot with the you know, the homeless shelter, just to help people who need to get to work because transportation is such a big problem, you know, for these people to, you know, and then job training too. So
right.
Eric Rice did a good job testifying there.
From my time at United Way, that's one of the things we talked about a lot. Among the obstacles to overcome is, you know, one of the bigger obstacles for those who are struggling is transportation to and from. You can't get to your pathway to financial stability if you can't get to work. So that's one of the major obstacles to overcome.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good request. You know, transportation is a big problem for a lot of people, our veterans and our seniors, and we really have to work on that. So that's a good request. The last two, let's see, about the Michigan Military Heritage Museum.
Okay.
And Purple Rose Theater Company. So the Military Museum, I love the Military Museum. It's just one of our treasures here. They want $750,000 to increase exhibit space. You know, they tore down the old car wash there.
Yeah.
So they want to increase the space to improve collection storage, introduce new interactive features, other improvements.
Okay.
Of course, it's such a historic showcase for all our military, and just seeing them walk in there, it's really amazing just to watch their faces, and it's someplace they can really relate to, and I love it for our veterans, but everybody enjoys it. Educational, for students. Of course, it's the site of Camp Blair. You know that. It's hard to believe that there was a Civil War post for Union soldiers right there on Wisner Street. What, 20 buildings, a hospital? So it was quite a historic spot there.
Oh, you would not know that by looking at that area now. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And we did do Bailey Excavating, did do some excavating there. So we dug in, you know, and I think we found some porcelain and some other things. So it was kind of cool.
Wow. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll do more of that. Yeah.
Well, we've had them in the studio before to talk with them, but again, I've never been in. I experience a lot in Jackson, you know, because you see me out and about, but man, I've never been there either. I drive by it a million times, but I've never been in.
Oh, you have to go, and there's so much. Scott Gersh is the one who testified, and he's great. He was in the Army for 23 years, and he showed me the back room, and they have so many things to put out there. And so many people give them different items, uniforms, equipment, and so they just need to expand.
Okay.
But it is a great place. We got to get you out there.
All right.
And then the Purple Rose Theater Company was the last one. And those two programs were to support young people, College Night and 30 Under 30 program. One of the programs is like Stagecraft Talkback. They talk to directors, playwrights, and provide discount tickets, it's educational experience. One thing I like about the arts is, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of our students who do not thrive in academics or sports, but they do find a place in the arts. So this is really important to take away barriers financial barriers so they can get involved with the arts.
All right.
So those are the requests this week.
Okay. That's that seems like it's more than a typical week of testimony. It seems like it's a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. But you know what? If you don't put in the request, you can't even have them considered. So okay. It was important for me to make sure that I got all these in. Not that we will get all the money for all of this, but I will look for the money in other places.
Right. Okay. Now, do you have other requests that are going to be coming up? I mean, is this going to
yes,
be?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So it'll be.
I have the Jackson County Sheriff is going to be in next week.
Oh, that should be an interesting one. And
yes.
Is this for? Can I ask? Is it like for facilities or is it? What's it for?
Yes, it's mostly about infrastructure. We'll talk about the jail again. We'll talk about Chandler Road, some improvements over there. We're still putting our testimony together. But, yeah, the request will be having to improve the infrastructure.
All right. Very good. So what is on the docket for Representative Schmaltz this weekend? Where are the Kathy clones heading out to this weekend?
Let's see. Well, you know, I love the robotics kids, and Chelsea has a big competition this weekend. So I will be over there. That'll be fun. And then I know there's a couple events Sunday. I'll be out and around. How about you?
I have been so busy this week. We are doing the Taste of the Irish Hills on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
We might do a little bit on Sunday, too. But that is for sure on the docket for us for Saturday. So that's what we're looking
forward
to.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll have to get out there.
Yeah, yeah. We picked up our cups. We've got our shamrock beads and all the stuff. So we went with the big package. So we've got the T-shirts and everything. So we're looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun.
Oh, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know what's not a lot of fun right now?
Go ahead.
Two wins, Kathy, for the Tigers in spring training.
We hardly have our people playing. There were two of our regulars playing one. This is spring training, Mark. Don't worry.
I don't care. All right. So, but you look at. I know you keep saying that.
I know
that.
It bothers you.
You keep talking me off the ledge on this. But we did have a 16-8 win, and we did have a ton of ties. I can't believe all the ties that we've had. What was the other one? A 12-3 win over the Rays. So when we do decide we want to win, I guess we go big. But two wins, Kathy?
You know, we're just trying out things, Mark. All you don't panic. Don't panic. We'll be fine.
All right. Knowing what we know of the Tiger season already, where do you put them as far as wins losses? Are we going to be we're going to be about 100 wins?
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Oh, okay.
Still watching some of the guys down there, some of the new guys, and how the former guys are doing. It's hard to tell now.
Okay.
But
all right.
How about you? You ready to predict?
I'll let you know in October.
Okay. Whatever.
All right, Kathy.
We'll make a bet before then.
All right, Kathy. As always, we appreciate our visit. Thank you for the time. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Mark. Bye-bye.
Bye now. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. It's 7:50.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
And now we head to the newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program Tapio Knutson in for Tom today with the Knutson's Outdoor Report. Tapio, hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now you're you don't get the cushy in the office job like your dad does. You're out. You're grinding it out on the roads right now, delivering bait, right?
Yep, I'm out delivering worms, starting to switch everything over from ice fishing bait to springtime bait.
Okay, so you still get the wax worms go out during springtime still, right?
Yeah, that's a good bait all year round. So we got those, but then we're putting in night crawlers and jumbo panfish worms.
All right, so now my lake is still covered, probably won't be by the end of the weekend with all the warm water with the rain that we're getting right now, but before I ask you about your ice fishing season, it just feels like the ice situation has really deteriorated at this point.
Yeah, I would say at this point, there's probably no safe ice at all. there was a couple guys going this past weekend and maybe on Monday and Tuesday, but I would say at this point it's pretty much over.
All right, so ice fishing's done, but which is fine. I mean, we had a really good ice fishing season this year, and it's time to turn our head towards spring fishing. But before we do that, before I completely turn the page, Tapio, I follow you on Facebook, and it looked like, maybe my characterization is wrong of this, but I'm going to use the word epic because it felt like you had a really good ice fishing tournament season, Tapio, you and your wife.
Yeah, we really did. We had a lot of fun. We placed in the top 3, 5 quite a few times. We won a little money. This past weekend was our club's classic or championship, and we ended up taking third in that. So that was a pretty good cap to the ice fishing season.
So in a season, Tapio, where I got skunked more than I actually than I'd like to admit this year, and you know, talking with some of the guys, you know, at the cash register at Knudsen's, they're talking to a lot of people who are having that kind of season. What was the secret sauce for you this year to have such a successful season when it felt like it was kind of a down year?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of the Branch County, and for whatever reason, those lakes over there, just they're a lot of them are big chains, and there's just a lot of fish in those lakes. And year after year, people go out there and hammer those lakes, and they still produce year after year. Okay. So that definitely helps being on good lakes for sure. Okay.
What was your best showing this year?
Probably, I know we got second a couple times and third a couple times, but probably that championship last weekend we got third, and that won us the most money for the year. So
all right, now so when you're in a tournament, how much time do you give it before you start? You find your first hole, and if it's not hitting, how long do you try to give it before you're on to the next?
Oh, I mean, probably less than a minute.
Really?
I mean, a lot of times if I'm not marking any fish in that hole, I won't even fish it with a Vexilar. So I'm just hole hopping until I find a hole with fish in it, and then you fish them.
Okay, so if you're marking fish, how long before you switch out to something new if they're not hitting it? Or do you go on to another hole?
Well, I mean, I give it 5 minutes. I mean,
okay.
Or it just depends on the lake. A lot of times, like if there's fish in the hole and you catch a couple and then the fish are gone, then I move holes right away. But
all right.
Other times, if they're not hitting, if those fish in that hole just won't hit it, yeah, probably 5-ish minutes.
I tell you, I've probably sat at holes longer than I should have. Seeing them down there, and if they're not hitting anything, I'll go through every rod in my case. If they're not hitting anything, I'm like, oh, I got to move everything again. But, you know, because you've been there. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times there's just some fish that just won't react. So then you just got to find the ones that will.
So when you the first thing that you drop down, does it depend on, because I know you're going for panfish. I saw a lot of crappies come up this year, and I saw a lot of bluegills come up this year. So what's the first thing you drop down when you're at a new spot? Do you've got that favorite thing that you like to try first?
I almost always just use live spikes. That's my go-to. A lot of finny anchor fish, they just like that the small presentation. There's a lot of people in our that we fish against that use only plastics, but I prefer the live spikes.
Okay, are you putting that on like a tungsten, a jig? Are you using a teardrop, or what are you using?
Yep, tungsten jigs. Usually, just I like small ones, a 3 millimeter.
So okay,
they're pretty small.
All right, I'm definitely going to try some things different next year. No, seriously, I guess I was overbaiting because I'm putting down a treble. I'm putting on different things on there, thinking, oh man, you know, I'm like me at a Las Vegas buffet. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean it. That's definitely nice when you can get them to bite the treble, because then you got more hooking mm-hmm. them and they won't come off. But there are some fish that just they're too picky and they won't eat anything that big.
All right. All right. Well, now I know how to approach it a little differently for next year. From the award-winning sure. Tapio Knutson. All right. So beyond ice fishing, I'm sure you could travel a little bit, maybe north, maybe out west still to find some ice, but here we're pretty much done. What are we transitioning to here in Jackson now? Or not in Jackson, but in the state?
So, yeah, you could probably go north a couple hours and still find decent ice. I know it's supposed to get cold again next week, so mm-hmm. you could probably do that. But probably the biggest thing for this time of the year that's starting is steelhead on the rivers.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yep, those coming into the rivers to spawn. So, yeah, that's definitely starting up. I've already seen people having pretty good success.
So where are they doing those at? I ask because I don't know. I don't steelhead fish.
Yeah.
So
pretty much anywhere on any of the rivers on the west side of the state that flow into Lake Michigan. It's the rainbow trout that they live out in Lake Michigan most of their lives, and then they come back into the rivers to spawn.
Okay. All right. So that's going on. And, how far are we, do you think, from, like, the walleye season on the Detroit River?
That, too. I've already seen a few people going out.
Okay.
They're fighting the ice flows that are floating in the river. But there's a few people trying to get out there and get a few.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It feels like we're going to be a ways away from it here in the Jackson area, because there is still ice on the lake, so you kind of have to wait for all that to get out of the way. But, I mean, if people are going to be going out, if the ice is gone, are they still kind of fishing as if they were ice fishing? Even though it's open water, they're going to find, like, those drop-offs, they're going to find those deeper spots?
Yeah, for sure. It's if you can get out there, definitely want to fish pretty much the same spots that you would be fishing during ice season. Eventually here, they're going to start, as the water warms up, they'll start moving a little shallower,
right,
for sure.
Right. And also a reminder for our listeners, we're getting close to that time to where you're going to have to freshen up your fishing license. The one from last year is going to expire. You're going to have to get the one for this year.
That's a good point. So you can now buy the 2026 license, but your 2025 is good until March 31st. So you got a couple weeks, but if you're in Brooklyn, you can stop in and get yours now for the rest of the year.
When I was going through my gear, my summer gear, this was at the beginning of the ice fishing season. I was going through my summer gear, and, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to make sure I got my license with me. I'm going to put it in my winter gear, have it with me. I go pull out my summer gear, and I must have pulled out like 10 different Knutson's envelopes with the different licenses in them, because I just put the new one in right on top of the old one. Yeah. You know, I never take them out.
That works.
Well, I like having it in person. I know the state has it to where you can buy it online, you can have it on your phone, but I've just got that old school type of mentality where I like to have it in my hand, and I like to be able to keep it with me.
Me too. It does, and it makes it easier if you do get checked. All you got to do is just hand it to the CO and go on your way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I keep it with my gear, and if I have it on my phone, I am deathly afraid of dropping my phone in the water, whether I'm ice fishing or on a boat. So my phone is put away. You know, there's people who try to get a hold of me when I'm out on the boat, and they can't because it's put away because I'm afraid I'm going to drop it. But the stuff's always with the gear, so I always make sure that you have it on you, and you can get at Knutson's. Right. All right. How close are we to turkey season, Tapio?
A little over a month away still.
Okay.
I do know with the last couple weeks of some warmer mornings, I've heard them gobbling behind my house. So, it'll be here before we know it.
We had where my office is here at the station. I've got a nice look out the back over the towers there and right along that tree line. Oh my goodness, there were two. They look like ostriches. I mean, they weren't sandhills; they were turkeys. But they looked absolutely huge yesterday.
I've been there a couple times and seen them there. There's definitely a lot of turkeys running around.
Oh man, they're huge. But yeah, I know that's like the first hunting season of the year, and a lot of people are really looking forward to that springtime turkey. So all right, well, Tapio, is there anything that we didn't talk about today Tapio Knutson with Knutson's Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. It's the Knutson's Outdoor Report. Tapio, is there anything that we should be talking about today that we didn't touch upon yet?
I think we hit a lot of stuff right now. Now we gotta get it so that the warmth comes and it stays warm. I hate when it gets warm for a couple of days and then it goes right back into the 30s. So.
I hate early muddy spring because we're just in that void where you can't do anything in early muddy spring. So, well, all right. So you're out delivering bait. How many spots do you hit while you're on your route? How many places here in Jackson have Knutson's bait?
In Jackson, there's probably, I do that one on Thursdays, and I think I stop at like 23, 24 different places.
All right, so that sounds like there's more places to pick up Knutson's bait than there are Dollar Generals in Jackson. So you you're never more than 10 minutes away from Knutson's bait. All right.
I would say that's pretty true.
All right, Tapio. Hey, as always, we appreciate the visit. Thanks for checking in with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Tapio Knutson. It's the Knutson's Outdoor Report on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. It's 8:48, 12 minutes.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:34 and a half here at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And we make our way to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program Congressman Tim Walberg joining us this morning. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back in district.
It's nice to have you here and looking forward to our conversation. When we spoke last week on Friday, we always know things are going to be, you know, tense in the Middle East. But then we wake up Saturday morning and we have the attack going on. What's this like from your standpoint? And when information comes in, do you know before the general public knows when stuff like this is going to happen? Or how did you find out that we were bombing Iran last week?
Well, very same way your listeners found out from the reports that you and other media sources gave that it was underway in the president's early morning statement of what had taken place. And I'm glad that it was that way because I can name colleagues that I have in Congress who would have outed the entire mission had they been contacted. The Gang of Eight received word. They received, even before it took place earlier that week, that there was a high potential of this action being begun.
Mm-hmm.
But, this was so well cared for, orchestrated, planned, that right now even the military is a bit jazzed as to how well it's gone and in such rapid fashion. And sadly, with a loss, only six so far. It was amazing. Now, we had indications as members of Congress from some things that we were told to take care of for our own personal safety, special requests made of us, seeing what was going on in that region with the buildup of our naval and tactical forces. I had a little insight in when I met with Bibi Netanyahu just a few days prior in Jerusalem, and sensed from him an appreciation factor for America and a calmness that I don't think I've seen in any other meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Congressman, are you still with us? Congressman, are you still there?
Him.
There we go. We dropped you for just a second. We lost you just as you were telling us about your conversations with Netanyahu.
The conversation I've had, it's always been intense around Iran.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about two-state solutions and things like, but it's always centered on, will America stand with us, support us, make noises against the Ayatollah, against Iran as a malign actor. But in this case, talking with him, there was a much greater sense of calmness and almost a fatal understanding that something he had wanted to see take place for quite some time, and that's the eradication of Iran's capabilities to mount a nuclear or ballistic attack on Israel and on the United States was about to come to conclusion. And so putting that all together after the fact, I can't say that as I sat there and talked with him that I would have said 100% sure something's going to happen soon. But with all of those indicators, plus the conversations, plus the encouragement from our leadership to take special caution and care for our own personal safety, you knew something was coming. Plus, Trump was saying, you know, I'm negotiating with you. We're willing to do certain things for you, Iran, but there are points we will not accept. And if you continue, then you're going to bear the consequences. And as we found out with Venezuela and other places, Trump does not mess around. He'll tell you the truth, and you better get the message. And that's the beauty of the leadership of this president, that what presidents from Reagan on for the past 47 years, they've talked about it, they've threatened, but they've never done it. This president talked about it, threatened, and did it, and it in a massive way. And I think any American that doesn't see this as a patriotic opportunity of joy for seeing the power of America asserted for a just purpose, not nation-building, attempting to put no boots on the ground of Americans, and thus far we haven't. And thus far we haven't had need to do that. But to see the most lethal fighting force in the world displayed up close and personal, that's powerful. That ought to be a patriotic moment. And I think what it also says to our other enemies, key enemies that Trump has made very clear that they are our enemies, that be China, Russia, and Iran, and North Korea, they've been put on notice. If China is thinking of doing something with Taiwan, this would be the worst time in the world to do it. Why? Because our fighting forces are toned and ready, and China's seen what can happen very quickly with our forces. China does not have the same capabilities, and I think now the world has seen some of the disparaging comments that came from a woke military under Biden, and it was woke, set up for failure, and to only be so-called peacekeepers, which made the world less capable of assuming that there's a peace potential in the world. Now we see there is a peace potential with Venezuela, what's happening in South America, the other countries coming alongside of us with the Abraham Accords seem to actually work with those countries stepping up and asking questions of America. And the questions are, give us targeting information so we can assist you in defeating Iran. That is really something to revel in as American patriots.
What type, based on what you know, what type of how long is this confrontation in Iran going to last? Now, and Congressman, I ask you for my own selfish reasons, because my boy out of the 203rd Transportation Company out of Minnesota is going to be in Kuwait in 3 weeks. So I ask you, I'm hoping, my hope is that our military is able just to flatten any type of military operations in Iran in 3 weeks' time. That's my hope. But what, realistically, what are we looking at with this confrontation?
Well, I think realistically, and don't take my word as gospel, but from all the information I have and what I've gleaned, what I've seen, what all of us have seen on our news broadcasts and the pictures that are there, seeing a Iranian naval ship being hit in the ass end by a torpedo. I mean, that hasn't happened since the Second World War. I mean, it's unbelievable capabilities we have. I would say that what the president has talked of as the longest timeline he's given so far was 6 weeks. And I think right now he's reducing that. But within 6 weeks, Iran won't be the problem. The Houthis, Hezbollah, and some of the proxies of Iran may still be trying to throw up their little muscles a little bit. And that will be the cleanup mop-up operation that I hope your son does not have to get heavily engaged in. But that probably will be what the case, because the president said, we're going to end this. We're not going to take it just to a satisfactory conclusion. We're going to finish it. And that means that the Houthis and the Hezbollah and others had better come to the realization that their lives are not going to be saved by continuing to press us, Israel, or our allies now in the Middle East. And what we've done already with Lebanon and setting up outposts that can position a more secure border in Syria, etc., has shown that to be the case. But I think, I mean, the percentage, the numbers of missiles flying from Iranian sources in the last 3 days have dropped drastically in percentage from what it was beginning. They're running out of munitions. We aren't. And the president is meeting with our munitions contractors, and I think he's going to give them two messages. One, step up your pace to restore all that we need. China needs to understand that. Russia needs to understand that. North Korea needs to understand that. So don't think that we're depleted. And I think the second thing he's going to say, you've been ripping us off with the cost of these munitions and instruments of war for too many years. You're not going to do it again. We have other people, other companies we can go to, and you'd better get real with us on the cost of all of this. So those are two good things that are coming from what's taken place here. Plus, we have just seen the capabilities that we have with allies like Israel, who could stand it alone, but are much better with us doing what we've done thus far alongside of them.
Reagan, Bush, Clinton with Kosovo, Obama, and almost every president has taken military action without a wartime vote. How important is it that Congress passes a wartime vote for Trump?
I don't think it's important at all right now. As we go on and we go past the time limit that he has under the Constitution, 60 days and then 90 additional 30 days for a mop-up, we have no reason. I mean, I'm glad that this was not brought to Congress beforehand. Otherwise, we would have had an ineffective attack, and we probably have lost more of our own military. Because my colleagues cannot be trusted, and I could name names, not all of them, of course, but I could name names that immediately would have gone to the media. Some would have gone to Iran, I'm confident, and warned them. So the fact that the administration notified the Gang of Eight, that's a bipartisan group of leaders in Congress, that was enough. They didn't have pause at that point, including Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries didn't have pause enough to say, no, we will not accept that, and we're gonna report this. They didn't. And I think that says something. Regardless of what these so-called leaders are saying now, and calling for the vote we had yesterday, and I'm glad we shut it down. We said, Mr. President, keep doing what you're doing. Keep the principles of the reason why you're doing it as your reason. Keep declaring it a defensive position from all of the attacks that Iran has put on us and the thousands of American lives they've taken and the hostages that they've taken over the years and almost 50 years of attack on America and its citizens. Keep finishing that off, and we'll support you. If it goes longer and it actually becomes a war situation, then I think, of course, Congress ought to be consulted. We will have a chance then to give our opinion and direction, because we do have constitutional authority to give direction then. The vote yesterday showed that, as of right now, the majority of members of Congress still believe that what the president is doing is the right thing.
Earlier this week, you had a press release that we received here in regards to Homeland Security, and that's still lingering out there. Are we concerned that there could be retaliation here in America for what's happening in the United States and what's happening overseas right now? And how important is it that the Senate gets their part of that passed?
it's absolutely American importance that they get that passed. To not pass funding for full funding for Homeland Security, ISIS funded, Customs Borders funded, and that's what the Democrats are allegedly attacking. We're going to have a new Homeland Security director since Kristi Noem is out, and most likely Mark Wayne Mullen, Senator Mullen, is going to be in. That ought to give them a reason to say, well, we won. We took Kristi Noem out. If that's what it takes, fine, let them do that. But last night for them to take the House's second pass bill to fully fund Homeland Security, which includes TSA, those blue-shirted individuals that have protected us at our points of embarkation in air flights for years now, and were put in place after 9/11 because 9/11 had never happened before, and now we had to think about our homeland in a different way. For Chuck Schumer and the Democrats to hold off funding this extremely important department, and not give pay to TSA agents, not give pay to our defenders of the homeland on the Great Lakes, with our forces that really are doing things that thankfully we don't know too much about because they've been so successful. It's just un-American, and I'll say that advisedly. It's un-American for what the Democrat leadership and members in the Senate have done to stop funding this. They are achieving nothing except giving aid and comfort to our enemies, and there are terrorist cells in this country because Joe Biden invited them in mass proportions during his tenure in office, and we know they're there. We know that crazy judges have even released some of these terrorists, known terrorists, out into our streets again after they were jailed. And so, frankly, what the Democrats are doing right now, because Republicans have supported the funding, the full funding of Homeland Security, is un-American. And I'll say it that blatant. And so I would encourage your listeners, citizens of the 5th District, to contact our two Democrat senators, because that's all we have, and tell them enough's enough. Vote for funding for Homeland Security.
Congressman Tim Walberg joining us here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Congressman, is there anything left untouched here that you feel it's important to have a conversation for our listeners, or do we kind of cover the biggies for here today?
I think we covered the biggies. You know, in my committee, the Education Workforce Committee, I chair that committee. Yesterday, we put out some significant child care bills, and going against the fraud that we saw in Minnesota and other places, including some in Michigan, the percentages that we've seen of the abuse of the child care funds and the grants that are out there for needy purposes. We had 8 bills we put out of committee yesterday, really taking a tack at that and trying to get a handle on making sure that taxpayers' dollars are used for the right reasons, aren't funneled off to Somalia and other places. And so this is all an effort to keep America strong, to make our workforce capable, to allow child care to be there, and incentives that are given to businesses to provide that so we can keep the operations going. But it has to be done understanding the taxpayers' dollars are important dollars and shouldn't be wasted and abused on fraud. And so that was, it was a full day, it was a full week this week.
Yeah.
But the gravity of the situation we're in right now shows the value of having a strong America, shows that we do have a strong American fighting force. We do have leadership finally that understands what's going on in the world, and we are taking leadership in such a way that we're uniting the world and making the individual bad actors stand out as evil forces in the world that we can't let continue. So it's an interesting time, and I would encourage your listeners to hang tough, to believe in America, to understand that there's a fuller story that the national media isn't giving. There is no media source that gives me or others like me the opportunity to speak like the local stations that I'm talking on right now. And you're getting a fuller perspective of what is actually taking place. And I think America is better for that. And I think they'll feel even more optimistic when they have a fuller presentation of economics, defense capabilities,
the world situation, and it's not just what CNN or Fox talk about.
Oh, Congressman, we always appreciate the opportunity. We're thankful for the opportunity for you to join us here on a weekly basis on Fridays. We thank you for that. We thank you for your time here today, Congressman.
Well, enjoy the warm weather this weekend and going on. Spring is coming.
Yeah, definitely no ice fishing this weekend, Congressman. That's for sure.
No, that's right. Stay off. Stay off.
Hey, you have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Congressman Tim Walberg joining us on AM Jackson, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.